Blog Talk Radio.
This is Crosswalk Talk with Carlotta Waldman. Carlotta is the founder of Crosswalk Life Ministries, an ordained minister of counseling, registered nurse, and Bible college educator. I'm Dan Baker, and welcome to this edition of our broadcast. Crosswalk Talk is a weekly Christian talk show all about knowing and experiencing God in our lives. We call it Crosswalk Talk because Jesus died on the cross and made it possible for us to walk the walk. And we all know that our walk talks much louder than our talk talks. This is your show, your opportunity to share true stories of healing, miracles, provision, and God intervening in the lives of people today. And now, here's Carlotta.
Well, good evening. It's so good to be back with you. It's been 4 weeks. I am so grateful for your prayers and encouragement. You know, moving is a big job, and I probably don't need to explain that to you. There have been other challenges, too, and we just really appreciate it that we have a team on board of burden bearers, intercessors, friends, people that love us like you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. One thing that's been happening recently, and I guess for a year now, is people have been asking questions about, is it okay to confront? Is it okay to, you know, disagree, or is it causing division? Is it okay to point out issues and to comment on them if you're a good Christian? Do prophetic people do things like this, or are Christians supposed to stay out of the government or politics or, you know, taking stands on issues? And what's the difference between taking a stand and judging people? And that, to me, is the heart of the issue right there. We can hate the sin, but always love the people. So are we called to take a stand about current day issues? Is that part of being a voice of the Lord? Are you willing to take a stand? And what is God's message through you? And might you be rejected for it? Yes. Are you willing to look with me tonight at mostly the Old Testament prophets? I think you're probably more familiar with the New Testament ones, and see how they confronted government leaders, priests, citizens, heathens, for about every issue you can name, and the main point of their message. Now, please get a pen and paper handy, because while I'm not going to tell you anything that's new, it's not that this is fresh revelation from the Lord. I did take Old and New Testament to get my theology degree, but it's been a long time, so we're going to just move quickly and look at the main points. But I think you'll find, to your amazement, how it's almost parallel to what we're dealing with today. Many were rejected, and some lost their lives. Probably most of them lost their lives. You know, a whole lot of the apostles, I'm trying to think if it was all of them, lost their lives preaching God's message. Whether you would think of it primarily as confrontation, I think would depend on if you review the biblical passages and think if you were there having to say this to a priest or a Roman official or Babylonian leader and all, if you would think it was huge confrontation, I imagine so. And again, the reason we're bringing this up is not because we're trying to go out and start fights. However, if you look closely, you'll see that it wasn't just Elijah that gathered up the false prophets and said, okay, we're going to have it out right here now, right here in public. It was also the apostles, the disciples, that confronted people in the town square, so to speak, and said, I don't care if you're making your living by worshiping Diana or, you know, whatever god or goddess. There's only one true God. And this did not go over well. And they were often run out of town at the very least, if not stoned. And I just admire Paul so much, St. Paul, because he would just get right back up. I think he played dead a good bit. He would get right back up And within a day or two, he'd be preaching in the same city. Now, that's serious love, isn't it? Being God's love to others. So I'd like you to just take out a pen, and what you can do is I'm going to just follow a simple outline. And you may want to review this later on because I'm going to move quickly. But I'm just going to say the prophet's name, like the first one is Joel, who he prophesied to, in this case, Judah, and maybe the key verse, and then a couple key words from his message. And I think you're going to be amazed that you could almost take these and apply them to our nations today. It's not that I'm going to have to stretch that point. You'll see. You'll see how applicable this is. And what does this have to do with me? I think if you surrender to the Lord and you're willing to say what you hear the Father saying and express the heart of God and his sadness, many of these express the sadness of God about people turning away from him, their idolatry, their unfaithfulness. And it's not that God is out there just to condemn people at all. And so, first of all, we might need to repent of a kind of a superficial judgment that we've made, especially with the Old Testament prophets, thinking that they were just out there to browbeat people and call names. And, you know, it wasn't that at all. They're expressing the sadness of God because he considers us as his wife. And he considers it seriously unfaithful when we worship other things, when we don't seek the kingdom first, when we put other things before God. And, of course, I have to deal with that, too. Every day there's always something that seems more urgent, you know, more urgent somehow, but maybe not more important, definitely not more important than spending time with God. And so let's just make a, this will all fit on one page, I think, and maybe, you know, just give a line or two to each one, and then you'll have something to think about. You know, God, how much do I really want to be your voice? Whoa. So we've got Prophet Joel prophesying to Judah. Now, you know that there was Israel and Judah. There was a division there and different territories, and I'm not prepared to explain all that and when, what, who, and how. You know, different kings. There is also a queen, and for 6 years, not just an interim queen. And then when they were in captivity, there were also judges and other prophets that took leadership roles. But on the first line, if you'll just put Joel prophesying to Judah, and in Joel 2:12, he says, "Even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning." Now that's pretty clear. His message, just as it, I'm sure it is to our nation, is to return to me with all your heart. And how? With fasting and weeping and mourning. Now, you're probably more familiar with the prophecies from Joel, like that were fulfilled at Pentecost. And as are many prophecies, sometimes they're fulfilled more than once, sometimes hundreds of years apart and in different ways. But in this case, Joel's using the recent plague of locusts as an analogy for the coming day of the Lord, warning that devastation is in store and that repentance is required. Now, this is something that divides the sheep from the goats. You know, to those that love God, come blessing, and to those who hate or ignore him, destruction. And because of his prophecy, there was a decision to be made. And for those of you that think that all bad things, so to speak, come from the devil, it's not quite that clear. Yes, God does turn everything out for good for those that believe him. So I'm not trying to contradict scripture at all. What I'm trying to say is there are consequences to sin. If we absolutely refuse to repent, God will sometimes bring pressure so that we will turn back to him so that he can bless us. But it's never like punitive, like I've had it with you, go to hell. It's always so that we will understand how much God loves us and the importance of turning back to him and the importance of worshiping only God as God. Amen. Jehovah God, that is. Second prophet I'd like to look at is Jonah prophesying to Nineveh. You're familiar with him and the story of the whale, and I submit to you that everything in the Bible is true. And when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction that he had had Jonah prophesy. We've always got to be careful of a couple of things. Follow the prophetic guidelines when you prophesy. If you're not familiar with those, Prophet Rita, Kimberly Phillips, and I did a whole series on it, which you can find at nowfaith.tv. If you click on schools and prophetic schools and radio, you'll see a series of 12 programs like this, where the first 30 to 60 minutes is teaching on prophetic guidelines. Now, here's the thing. When Jonah prophesied, he was actually supposed to be giving a conditional prophecy. In other words, if you repent, this won't happen. If you don't, it will happen. But Jonah was too invested in the fact that he had given the prophecy and he really wanted the people to be destroyed so that he could save face. We've got to be really careful, one, when we prophesy, to remember that all personal prophecy, or in this case to a nation, is conditional on our cooperation with it. Now, what's the opposite of that? Well, in the book of Revelation, when it says there's going to be a battle of Armageddon, there will be. That's not a personal prophecy. It will happen if nobody believes it, if nobody cooperates with it. But Jonah prophesied to Nineveh destruction if they would not repent. And we need to be careful to deliver our prophecies so that they deliver the heart of God, which is, if you'll repent, this destruction will not come upon you. It was supposed to be simply one of warning, not of finality. You know, it wasn't that this decision has been made, the verdict is here, you're going to die no matter what. But it does say that God will use circumstances, disasters, weather conditions, other countries, whatever you'll see mentioned in these, to bring consequences or to pressure people to come back to him. Not because he's narcissistic or an egomaniac, because it's the best thing for us. Amen? Now, Amos was not a professional prophet, so to speak, but he kind of comes like from the way many of you would as more of a layman, bringing a prophecy, and yet to a nation, to Israel. And he's saying, woe to you who are complacent in Zion, to you who feel secure on Mount Samaria, in Amos 6:1a. And here he's saying that, just like this theme reoccurs through many prophecies through the centuries, that there is judgment for immorality, warnings of coming judgment, appeal to turn back to God and obtain mercy, because God is both holy and loving, but on the other hand, he will let consequences come on individuals and groups and whole nations. And Amos wasn't a priest, but he's bringing a very straightforward message. You have to do this. You have to repent. And I think some of us are shy about that. And I've even had people question my message of repentance, like on Facebook. And I'm glad they feel free to ask or to, you know, state their point of view. On the other hand, you see this confrontation of sin in almost, I think it's every one of the prophets, everyone. So it's not that we're to be a bless me club and to only present that God will bless you no matter what you do. Not that at all. And yet some people say, well, this is New Testament times. Well, also, God never changes. He's the same today as he was yesterday. And so we, though, as prophetic people, are to prophesy a conditional prophecy for individuals and nations and all, and we are supposed to prophesy as well the good news. If you repent, if you obey, if you cooperate, then God wants to bless you. That's his heart. He called you. His greatest desire is for communion with his people. And just like it says in Deuteronomy 28, for those that worship the Lord their God, you know, there's all these blessings that will surely chase you down and catch you. But if you refuse to worship Jehovah God, there are all these consequences and curses. And some people say, well, God would never curse anybody. That's all from the devil. Well, you need to read Deuteronomy 28 and ask the Holy Spirit to show you what that means then, because it's pretty clear. Half of it's about the blessings and half of it's about the curses that follow idolatry. And I submit to you that nothing's really changed. There's still consequences that follow sin, follow idolatry. And is it my job to beat people over the head? No, but it is my job to preach a true gospel, to preach obedience, to preach there's one God, Jehovah God, and to show people the way. And I don't want anyone to miss knowing God personally, because I was afraid to say there's only one way to God in his son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You know, you can be what you call nice and people suffer not knowing God personally because you're not willing to preach the true gospel. And I've seen many a prophetic person, in that I include anybody that claims they can hear God's voice to some degree, many a prophetic person these days who won't preach repentance of sin. They want to only preach the good news. It's kind of Pollyanna, I would call it, as if there is no such thing as sin anymore, as if grace means that you're free and empowered to do anything you want. But that's not what grace is. Grace is the power to know God and to let him live through you, which means that you have a faith with good works, not salvation by works, but you have a faith that does bear good fruit. Amen? Amen. I hope you'll call in tonight and share your point of view. I don't want anyone to try to like take over and preach a whole sermon, but how about calling in and sharing a point means a point, you know, and a verse especially. I love it when people can put their finger on the verse. If you have a different side of this to bring out, especially, make sure that you start off with the verse. I'd like you to share the verse and share just in a sentence or two what you think it says, and then we'll open it up for discussion. But because we only spend a short time on the teaching part, and of course everyone wants us to get to the live prophetic ministry part, we'd like to give a lot of people a chance to share a point. Another prophet that we're very familiar with is Hosea, prophesying to Israel, and the sadness in the heart of God when his people are unfaithful to him. Maybe they're worshiping more than one God. Maybe they have a whole mantle full of images or gods. Or in our case today, maybe it's possessions, materialism, popularity, plotted positions, promotion, their own ministry, their spouse, their children. I mean, there can be so many things that you worship. But God's saying, how can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? My heart is changed within me, and all my compassion is aroused. In Hosea 11:8, Hosea's message is about how God loves us and his compassion on us, even in the face of our constant unfaithfulness. And we can see that everywhere in this nation. People are claiming to be one nation under God, and they have nothing to worry about, and God will take care of us no matter how bad and rebellious and stubborn we are. But it's his sadness and weariness with their sin and rebellion that Hosea's message is about, and why he was required to do something that seemed like absolute disobedience in a way, to marry a prostitute But he demonstrated to the nation how sad it is when your spouse is unfaithful and you're required to take them back over and over and over. Now, I'm not getting into a debate on divorce here because, yes, the Bible does say you're allowed to get a divorce for unfaithfulness. And, in fact, that word includes more than a sexual unfaithfulness. But the point I'm bringing out tonight is the different messages of prophets in the Bible, especially the Old Testament prophets that you may be less familiar with, and how the message can be presented in a way that sounds like condemnation and God hates you and can't wait to send you to hell, or it can be presented expressing the true heart of God, that he considers us his brides in the spirit. At least he wants us to be his bride in the spirit and to spend forever and ever with him and to enjoy communion with him daily, if not morning, noon, and night. Amen. And when we fail him, when we're in idolatry, he looks at it like adultery. And so, you know, you can get a whole lot further with people if you present the heart of God and not condemnation and punitiveness, because the person that's the most unfamiliar with God knows somehow in their heart that he's not really punitive. And if he were, it would be a God they wouldn't want. Now, how about Isaiah to Judah? To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One in Isaiah 40:25. This prophet, Isaiah, covers almost every topic in the Bible: God's holiness, his warnings, his judgment, call to repentance, visions of future blessing, messianic predictions, the servant songs, extraordinary poetry, on and on. See chapter 40 for that. And Isaiah, being such a long book, is a great one to study, to see the many, many messages that a prophet is given by the Lord. And it's very intimate. It's very conversational. And that's how I experience God. And that's how I wish everybody would experience God. Expect conversations with God. Expect live interaction. Expect him to ask you things like this and to answer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Micah prophesied to Judah as well. In Micah 6:8, he says, "Who has showed you, O man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you?" Here's the verse that most of you know: to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So this is a little bit more fine-tuning, not so much the whole nation's going to be taken over by the Babylonians if you don't straighten up, but he's predicting a judgment, not just because the people have turned away from God, but also because there are moral consequences to apostasy. We need ethical behavior in our secular life as well as in our religious life, in our families, in our government, in our schools, in the media, in business, in the arts. You know, we need ethical behavior. We need moral behavior, and not just a performance and outward behavior, but because we see ourselves as vessels of honor, containers and expressions of Jesus Christ. And although Micah is an Old Testament prophet, he's pointing out to the people, what does God want? He wants justice. He wants mercy. He wants you to be examples of humility before God. And I think this, of course, is something that really applies in our nation today. It's not enough to squabble over whether we have one nation under God in our Pledge of Allegiance or on our money. In our hearts, are we intending to be one with each other under God? Are we intending to be one with him, as Jesus prayed in John 17? Are we really wanting to have pure hearts before the Lord? The pure in heart not only see God, we hear God, and this is how this nation can be turned around. as we humble ourselves and pray and seek the purity of God, and not just to be a Christian nation like a label. Amen. Now, Nahum prophesied to Nineveh also. Some of you may not know that they received these warnings twice, the first time they repented. But God came back around a few years later and said, you will have no descendants to bear your name. Whoa, that's in Nahum 1:14. This condemnation of Nineveh, together with a prediction of its destruction, is very, very powerful. This warning still, again, is intended to bring about repentance. And I think to have the true heart of God and to be his voice today is the same thing. Can you just walk by people day after day at work, in the marketplace, wherever you go, and not picture how much this nation needs to repent? If nothing else, for submitting to the prophet of Baal, all our materialism and worshiping our possessions in just a shallow way that many Americans live. And it's not just if you have money. The 46.5% or whatever that are in the poverty level or below today can just be just as materialistic and just as shallow. It's not about really who's, all these things that the Democrats and Republicans squabble over. It's, are we really putting God first? Are we really seeking the kingdom of God first? And many people are quoting verses, and they're saying, well, those who seek the kingdom of God, all these things will be added unto them. And sometimes I'm aware of their lifestyle and how they have incredible debt because they can't stop worshiping possessions. And I'm thinking, how can you do this to yourself? You're creating this huge hole of poverty that they are. How can you say that you're obeying God and you can count on him to take care of you when you're continually is a lifestyle for years, worshiping materialism? But God is, again, giving us long spaces of time to repent. And he's saying that, whether he waits 5 years or 50 years, like the next prophet Zephaniah to Judah, the message is the same. The great day of the Lord is near and coming quickly. Now, that could mean a number of things, obviously. It's been prophesied in different points in history. The prophet is still prophesying that Judah will not be exempt from the judgment due. And I think there's a certain entitlement or exemption that some people are counting on, that because this nation had Christian roots and the leaders were Christians who not only were Christians at home and in church, but did you know that the Capitol for over 100 years, the Capitol building, was actually a place of worship on Sundays? This is how seriously they took the worship of the one true God. It wasn't a division of church and state in the way that some might think. The Capitol building itself was where church was held. And those, many, many of those leaders that founded our nation met there together. Now, we may not agree with them on every point, but it was a far side of where we are, ahead of where we are today. So we will not be exempt if we continually rebel and stubbornly refuse to worship God as God. We will find out about consequences to sin. And the thing about it is, just because you and your house worship the Lord does not mean these consequences will not affect you. This may be why some of the prophets were weeping prophets, probably all of them, is because when one prophecy comes true and the nation is taken into Babylonian captivity, for instance, that affects you too. They don't say, well, if you worship the Lord your God, then you'll be left out and you don't have to go into Babylonian captivity. So just heads up on this. While God will provide for us miraculously, we'll be able to multiply the things that we have in our house. Many other good examples that I can share with people that were blessed during hard times. It's not that it doesn't affect you at all. If the nation goes under economically, for instance, there will be challenges. It will take great faith for us to get through them. I believe in Jehovah Jireh, and I believe that he is my provider, and he will put the roof over my head and the food in my mouth and the clothes in my back no matter what. However, the prophets, the apostles, the disciples did suffer sometimes. And the Bible says, you know, be ready to be overcomers, be ready to stand in time of testing and trial. And we're not going to be exempt from that, I'm sorry. Now, you may want to call in with another point of view, and I'll be glad to claim every promise of God with you and to believe that it applies to us who are seeking him and his righteousness and obedient to him. However, I'm just saying, if the economy collapses, if the Madrid fault goes and breaks the infrastructure in the nation in half, if more weather disasters come, if unemployment gets worse, you know, these things, any of these things might affect you, and some of you have been affected already. So what we need to do is seek him for ourselves, not rely on our ancestors or the founding fathers' faith, and believe that there will be a survival of the faithful remnant. There will be. But it doesn't guarantee us that we will never suffer anything. And especially if we're willing to be an expression of the heart of God, calling people to repentance. We just need to always do that in a spirit of love. You don't have to scream it. You don't have to condemn any individual. Some people say I shouldn't post the things that I post on Facebook. I believe personally that it's okay to keep abreast of the facts and to know what legislation is coming down and up for vote. And to be for and against things. What I don't want to do is to mock people. I don't want to give them abusive nicknames or things like that. However, we see many examples in the Bible of prophets disagreeing with the behavior of even national leaders, you know, saying, "Thou art the man, David." You know, even if nobody knows this but you and I and God, it's still wrong. And there will be consequences. I hope you'll have take just a minute in here somewhere to text or call a friend and invite them to join us as we enter into the discussion on this. A little bit brave of me, my first program back, to make it on such a controversial thing. But then that's what this is about. Is it okay to disagree? Is it okay to ever disagree with God's authorities? And I believe that it is, one, if you're led, if you only say what the Father says to say, if you do it respectfully, and guess what? If you're prepared and willing to deal with the consequences and stay right with God while you do. Because there's going to come a day when those that disagree may be prosecuted. I won't be surprised at all. And are you prepared to walk in the Spirit through that time as well and know that you have a sovereign God who makes choices that are not always, you know, what we understand, not always what we want, but sometimes he lets people suffer consequences. Sometimes he will let people treat us unfairly. And so if you're going to be his voice, you're going to have to also be willing to be one that's walking in the Spirit, even if you are arrested or falsely accused. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Now, Jeremiah was a prophet to Judah, and I'm trying to take these in chronological order, but don't hold it against me if I mess it up. But he said, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel," in Jeremiah 18:6. This prophet ministered during a transition from the last days of the kingdom and on into exile And when people did not heed his warnings to repent, then Jerusalem fell. And when Jeremiah predicts the future restoration after 70 years of exile, you know, that's like the good news and the bad news. Yes, you're going to be restored, but you'll have something to be restored from. I mean, exile is like huge. And so he warns the remaining Judeans not to go down to Egypt. And he wants us to understand God and to understand what they're called to do and how to obey him. But as with many other prophets, he was not appreciated and his warnings were not heeded. And, of course, if you want to be popular, this is no place for you in the prophetic ministry. We have to have a compassion for people and what becomes of them that is greater than our self-interest and what becomes of us. I'm very aware of the strong stand that I take sometimes. In my heart, I try not to join some of my friends who are just flat out making fun of people they disagree with. But I do believe it is not only okay, but it is our job as Christians to take a stand for morality and ethics and, in our case, controversies over how to whether we need to stay with the Constitution or not and things like that. I think it's our job to be involved. And you'll find that most of our founding fathers were spiritual men, or at least were trying to be. They, you know, it wasn't that all the believers left this to the heathens to run. Now, Obadiah was a prophet to Edom. Now, this is different because Edom was a neighboring country, and it took advantage of Judah after Babylonian captivity began. And they tried to raid the villages. And first of all, they were descendants of Esau, the brother of Jacob. And they'd always been in a thorn of the Hebrews in their side. And Obadiah comes along to not prophesy against Judah this time, but to say that you Edomites have too much pride and you're so secure in your mountain strongholds, but I'm prophesying the annihilation of the Edomite nation. And of course, that's more fun when you're prophesying consequences to someone that's not your own people. But God cares about us all, amen, about us all. And he would have loved it if they would have turned to him and worshiped Jehovah God as God as well. Now, Ezekiel is one that most of you have heard about because he's so unusual. But actually, the theme of his book, and we'll look at it in Ezekiel 43:2, is that he saw the glory of God of Israel coming from the east. His voice was like the roar of rushing waters, and the land was radiant with his glory. I'm so indebted to people that have capsulized these messages because I have been quite busy moving and also traveling last week, and so I am relying heavily on the conclusions of others. But I think the main point is obvious. Ezekiel was written before the final destruction of Jerusalem, and his theme, again, is that judgment will follow sin. Some of us grew up with preachers that preach that too much. They're always dangling you by a thread over hell for the least little thing, and they were very legalistic. However, I believe this country has swung also in the other direction, where we kind of feel like surely God would not judge this entire country. Surely God wouldn't. And the sovereignty of God is not respected in many areas, I don't think, like it used to be. That God can say enough is enough. You know, how many centuries of this am I supposed to put up with? One, two, three? So this book is a complicated book with Ezekiel doing really weird things. There's confusing and terrifying visions in it. and symbols and actions on the part of Ezekiel that are hard to call godly. However, he is pointing to a focus on the glory of God. What an unusual combination. Very interesting read. Very interesting. And I think that's part of my message tonight, is don't assume that we've got God all figured out and he has to do it our way. That's one of the quickest ways, I think, to find out how sovereign God is to say you can't do that. You can only be nice to us. But we might find out that his definition of nice includes pressuring us to turn back to him. Daniel, we all love. Daniel, we heard stories about from when we were children. And we hear stories about Daniel in the history of the Babylonian captivity and how brave he was to stand up and to worship God, even when it was outlawed, how brave he was to stand and believe God to protect him in the lion's den. But see, that's just it. Part of your theology would say, it's okay to wimp out and to not worship God three times or pray three times a day because we're under spiritual authority, and if the king says we can't, then we can't. And people are excusing themselves from taking a strong stand for the Lord and his truth. That's not what we see in Daniel. We see someone that continued to pray, didn't hide it under a bushel, someone who believed God even if God seemed maybe to be letting him down because he finds himself in the lion's den, but he believed God there too. Then Daniel is trusted with prophecies concerning the rise and fall of several empires and the eventual end to all things. And his emphasis is on the sovereignty of God. And I would say he earned that right to be the prophet that prophesied all these things, because Daniel was willing to take a strong stand when it was not popular with the government. When he was definitely disobedient in their sight, he was willing to take a strong stand when it seemed like even God might not protect him, although God did, let me hasten to say. And Daniel was trusted with the prophecies that have covered centuries and centuries and centuries. In fact, I believe that we are still living in the midst of his prophecies because the Babylonian Empire is rising again. Haggai, different ways to say that one, is one of my favorites because we've moved so many times. Now, this may sound like I'm over-personalizing it, but if you look in Haggai 1:4, you see a verse that God used in my life. He says, "Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in paneled houses?" Apparently paneling was in, "while God's house remains in ruins." If anything, you might say in some areas we've swung to the other extreme. Way too much money has been put into God's house. But I can't necessarily agree or disagree on that, because the temple was very elaborate in many ways and very expensive. But that's not the point. The point is God's house more important to you than your own? How is your budget looking? Are you willing to not only tithe but give? Are you willing to serve? Are you willing to make building God's house and serving in it a priority that's even greater than the possessions in your own house? And this has really meant a lot to me over the years, because I'm a homebody. When I'm in town and at home, I like to be comfortable in my house. However, I will hasten to say, for those of you that mistakenly think that we are rich because we have an online school, that school is free. We are long-term investors. I call RCDs Christian deposits that last forever and ever. And that this is still an issue. It's not just during his time, but it's an issue now. What is more important to you, the prospering of the gospel, of God's house, whether that's your home group or a building somewhere or a verbal message or a life that you live, is that more important to you than your own ease, comfort, and pleasure. Ooh, enough said. Zechariah preached to a remnant, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. Zechariah 4:6b. That's the second part of the verse. Zechariah's message is rich. It involves some of the same themes, some about rebuilding the temple, some glimpses into the new covenant that we live in. He's a contemporary of Haggai, and parts of his message are very similar, but his style is totally different. And, of course, we quote this verse a lot, that we are to live not by our own might nor by our own power, but by God's Spirit. And I could go on and on and on and need to meditate on that, because that is the secret to the whole Christian life, right? That we allow God's Spirit to do it through us, not just do something we call living for God. Lastly, in the Old Testament, we've got Malachi. Malachi is saying, pleading, return to me, the Lord says, and I'll return to you. And there is that time in our own nation, any nation that's listening, when God says, return to me. I didn't leave you, but return to me. Abide in me, and I'll abide in you. And whereas most of the prophets just came out and rebuked sin outright, Malachi's really talking about apathy, about being lukewarm, about not really observing, abiding, worshiping like he used to, being half-hearted, leaving your first love. And Malachi's emphasizing that God wants the best that we have to offer, not the least that we can get away with. That's another message that we'll really preach. Maybe I should say it again. God wants our best, not the least that we can get away with. Well, that's probably enough for tonight. Try not to teach more than about 45 minutes unless I have a guest. But I hope it was a lot of food for thought. Because almost everything that I read and said tonight, I believe applies to our nation today. And don't forget that these nations did receive God's consequences. And I'm not going to get into a debate with anyone that calls about God's sovereignty, whether he causes things or allows things. But think about this. When God has someone prophesy it ahead of time, if you don't return to me, I may let you have your idols, and you can have them in another nation and lose your own spot here in Israel or Judah. You know, that doesn't sound like a weak God that couldn't help but let the devil take over to me. That sounds like God saying, I will answer your own prayer. When you said, do what it takes, whatever it takes, God, many times God does. He'll give us a long space of time to repent. But then eventually, we've probably all got a testimony of some point in our life where we pushed it and pushed it and pushed it. I know I wound up in the wilderness 20 years. I was kind of seeking God the whole time, but I was also compromising. And eventually, God would let me have what I chose. You know, like you made your bed, here it is, enjoy it. And then I would miss God. I actually told someone once, because I didn't understand about hearing God very much, but I said, I know that when I'm in a state of compromise, I don't hear God as well. And that's what motivates me to come back to God. It's not that he's beating me up. I miss him. I miss him. Well, I need a little break. My voice needs a break. I think that I would like to play a powerful song and give you a few minutes to think about its message. It says, the presence of the Lord is here. I just love, love, love this song that Brian Gage wrote. And I've heard other people with powerful voices sing it. And it's 7 minutes. I'm giving you time to worship a little, to say, God, is there any way that I need to return to you where I have not been putting you first? And, you know, that's always a question I have to ask myself. And, or also to call or text a friend and invite them to call 917-388-4683, 917-388-4683, and to join us for this discussion or to receive prophetic ministry. As always, I'll ask the people that have received prophetic ministry on this program before to give us about 30 minutes to minister to the first-timers before. I mean, you can go ahead and call in, but don't push number one till about 30 minutes from now. Do you understand? When you call in now, that gets you in the queue. If you wait to push number one, then that helps me to see who are not, you know, the first, I mean, who are the first-time callers. We have several callers already. That's wonderful. And what I'd like to do, oh, one more thing, housekeeping. I would like to tell you my new phone number. If you're ready to write this down, or you can come back to this program in the archives. I haven't changed it on the program description yet. Got to do that. But it's 229-449-4742. That's 229-449-4742. But I don't want you to be confused. That's to call our office. To call in tonight, you call, or any program night, you call 917-388-4683. 917-388-4683. I hope that was clear. I didn't mean to confuse you. But people have been asking what our new phone number is since we moved to Thomasville, Georgia. We love it here. We feel like God has just really been so good to us to move us here. And I want now to just take a worship break, practice what we're preaching, and worship the Lord our God, who's one Lord. And if God lays someone on your heart, you can call them and ask them to join us. Thank you, Lord.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord is here. Oh, presence of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Anybody feel it tonight? Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere.
kiss right where you are.
Chat room, and the sound sounded awful. I wish you'd send me a note now so I'll know and I can follow up on that. But I've learned from experience that sometimes what I hear through my phone is kind of lousy, but when I listen to the program afterwards, it's okay. But anything that you hear that doesn't sound right, please send me a message and I will see what I can do. We have some callers in the queue now. Excuse me. And I'm glad because I can't talk for 2 hours, even though it seems like it. And I want you to feel free to call in with comments, or you can make a point. Like I said, please don't try to make 3 or 4 because we want to give everyone a chance. And feel free to write me also at my email address for this program is CWT. That stands for Crosswalk Talk. So it's CWT at CWLINC.com. That stands for Crosswalk Talk at CrosswalkLifeIncorporated.com. CWT at CWLINC.com. You can see that on the program description page. So I would like to take callers. If you have called in before, if you'll just wait 20 or 30 minutes before you. 20 minutes, say, before you push number 1. But right now, we only have one person, one brave soul out there who wants to talk. So you can request ministry. I'd love to hear comments or questions about the teaching. I realize there's a lot of points that can be made. And I just will allow you to make it if you make it respectfully. And if you have a verse, very much better. I love it when people share a verse rather than just their opinion. So thank you very much. And if you all just be in prayer with me, we'll see what else God wants to add through our callers. I'm going to call you out by your area code so you'll know who I'm talking, calling for. And this is a caller from area code 859. Welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yes, I can barely hear you. What's your name and what area are you from?
My name is Jeff, and I'm calling from Fort Walton Beach.
Fort Walton Beach, great. Great, I used to live there.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, did you have a comment or a question about the teaching?
My friend wanted me to call in and listen, and he suggested that maybe I call in and see if the Lord would give me a word. And
okay.
I had two Bible verses that came to mind. One was in Deuteronomy 4:24. I'm sorry.
And what does that say?
It says, "For the Lord your God, he is a consuming fire, a jealous God." And in Hebrews 12:28-29, it also speaks of, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire."
Great. What point would you like to make about those, Jeff? Those are awesome verses.
Well, you know how you were speaking about how our nation as a whole is turned away from the Lord. And he doesn't want anybody to perish, but all to come to repentance. And like you said, his ways aren't our ways, and his thoughts aren't our thoughts. And sooner or later, he will pour out his judgment. And, I mean, as you said, we're not going to be scared, you know, even as Americans or even as the body of Christ, it's not going to be scared. We're going to be in it. As you said, the prophets were in the old times where they went through the trials and they went through the captivity with the nation. You know, as the body of Christ, we will still be going through it as well. And will be perhaps helping others, lead others to Christ through the whole thing. You know, and you will die.
That's the testimony the world is looking for. Maybe we're not, but they want to see if our faith stands up under testing. They want to see if the love, joy, and peace we talk about will really work during hard times.
Praise God.
What about the consuming fire part? I don't want to put you on the spot because I did say you could just make one point. I noticed that was in both verses, so does that have a special meaning to you?
Well, I have no idea where it I was reading, I think I had read in Hebrews, I was reading in Hebrews and I finished it in that verse just, it was one that I wrote. I usually make these whenever the Lord speaks to me, and when I'm reading the Word, and I usually make these signs and stick them up on the wall, you know, and that was the verse that stuck with me that I was reading, was that our God is a consuming fire, and I thought I had read it in, like, the Old Testament or something. I didn't realize it was in the New Testament until I went back and tried, because I didn't remember where, I didn't put the scripture verse on it, I just, I don't know, He's a consuming fire, the Holy Spirit. You know, even in Acts, the Holy Spirit fell, and there were flames of fire above the people, you know, tongues of fire. And the Holy Spirit, he is a consuming fire, and our God is a consuming fire. know, he went in the cloud by day and a fire by night to guide the children of Israel, and he'll do the same for us in times of tribulation and times of hardship. The Lord will be with us through everything, no matter what. You know, in Psalms 121, it says that, you know, our help is from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. He won't allow our feet to falter. Our guardian will not slumber. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's the guardian of Israel. He's our guardian. He's our shade at our right hand, and by day the sun will not harm us, nor the moon by night. He will protect us from every evil, and he will guard our soul. He will guard our departure and arrival from this time and forever. That's our God.
Thank you. I knew if I didn't cover that side of it very well that somebody would have to call in and say, but God, he will protect us. He will this, and you know, he will provide. He will be our Father. He will, and he will be the fire in our bones, you know, and we won't retire. We'll be refired by whatever's coming. And I can't say that I have by any means a full understanding of what a consuming fire is. Was it Ron Canole that sang the song about all consuming fire? I was trying to think. But I used to play it over and over. And I even made one of those glory hoops, you know, with the hoop that you hold in your hand, and when you worship, it's got these little lightweight streamers that just stream across. And I used to worship with that, and that was one of my favorite songs. There's something about that, to know that God is all-powerful, he's everywhere, he knows everything. And when we go further and further into the end times, that there won't be anything that escapes him. And the way I like to say it is this. It's not that every circumstance he allows in our life is present. I mean, if you've been alive 2 weeks, you know that.
Yeah.
But it's that I say that he filters everything that is allowed in our lives through his own fingers. And if you believe that Christ is living in you and through you, you're not in it by yourself ever. That he is living through whatever he allows to come our way. He is living his life through us in that. And, you know, the bigger the challenge, the greater the victory. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, I just thank you for Jeff. I thank you for the word, the sword of the Spirit that you've put in his heart, and that you've called him to be a man who does not only know the word, but he knows you, and he swings the sword of the Spirit with strength and with precision and with power and effectiveness. And the Lord says that I have called you to allow me to be a flaming sword coming out of your mouth. And this flame, like the all-consuming fire, will not only purify, but it will empower people to be what they're called to be. And the Lord says, I have all the power and might that there is, and I'm inside you. And I'm calling you to be that one with that prophetic heart, because prophetic people take the word very seriously. We want to apply it to ourselves first. And the Lord says, I'm calling you to be not only that joyful prophetic voice that rejoices when God delivers the people from captivity, when he heals, when he sets people free and they're able to be all that they're called to be, but to be that one who can have the boldness. And the Lord says, if you'll ask me for more boldness, I will surely be that boldness in you. And you will not have to worry about it. The Lord says, I'll give you keen discernment, even more keen discernment than you have now, so that you will know how to present what I give you, how it applies to whom and to where and to what. You'll know when to deliver it, how to deliver it with my heart, and you will know how to impart my love and compassion, my desire to see people come to me for reconciliation, for redemption, for blessing. And the Lord says there'll be that balance in you. like a power to deliver a word, even in first person. You won't be saying, I think God thinks, or maybe I feel like God says, but I will give you that spiritual power and authority as I speak through you, where you'll be able to say, I hear the Lord saying, and you'll say it with confidence and conviction that imparts faith to others, and that they will know that there is a God to turn to who is powerful, and that there is only one God in heaven, and it's not confusing. And they will know that they know that they will be safe in God's arms and protected when they obey, and that there is a gift of righteousness made available through Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And I thank you, Lord, for Jeff. I thank you for the boldness that you want to give him, the clarity of the flaming sword that you're putting in his mouth. It will not only purify hearts, but purify the message so that it can be understood. And people will be empowered, empowered to do the things that they have wondered if it is their calling, or if they're just like on an ego trip. And the Lord says, I will give you clarity of word, and when you lay hands on people, you'll know that my hands are inside your hands, and I'll give you the ability to impart to them a knowing of who I am and how I want to live through them, and that they will know that whatever the cost, it will always be worth it to serve me. Amen?
Amen.
Can you relate to any of that?
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty intense.
I can't hear you. A little bit louder?
Yeah, that was pretty intense.
Well, the times are going to be intense, but God is saying that with him inside us, we have everything.
Man. Well, thank you.
I think I said something that wasn't true to you, though. Which beach, where did you say you live?
Yeah, I just moved here, I moved here in April. My area code is actually from Kentucky. Where on
yeah, that
was
good. Are you in Florida now, though?
Yes, Fort Walton Beach.
Fort Walton Beach. Okay, yes, I did live near there. All right, after I kind of came back to the natural world and I was looking at the area code, I thought, I must have said that wrong. But, yeah, I did live near that area, and God was able to mentor me at Santa Rosa Beach, and I just praise him for it.
Yeah, we go to a church in Destin. It's filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Lord is really moving in our lives. And
amen. Hallelujah. I'm so glad you called. I hope you'll join us again, or join us in our archives on Blog Talk Radio, and we also have lots of interviews and programs on nowfaith.tv.
Yeah, I'll try. I don't have a computer, but I will give it a shot. My daughter has one.
Oh, Lord. Lord, bless him with a computer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, as always, the library. You know, it may sound a little strange, but there are a whole lot of people that don't have computers. But those that are hungering and thirsting for righteousness can find the truth at the library.
Yeah, you're right. That's true.
Amen. Well, we thank you, thank you, thank you for calling, and I'm going to see if anyone else would care to share with us. Have a blessed
okay.
night.
You as well.
Okay, bye-bye. Oh, wow, that's one of my favorites, All-Consuming Fire. On the other hand, you're free to share something that may not seem to agree with the program, or ask a question, or ask for ministry. We don't have any other callers that appear to be first callers, so if you would like to call in, even if you've called before, this is your time. It's 917-388-4683. 917-388-4683, and just push that number 1, so I'll know you'd like to participate. I wanted to share this tonight because I think a lot of people may have been kind of shot down by people that say Christians can't take a stand for anything, or you know, they misunderstand what the church and state issue is about, and they just don't understand that Christian leaders were always involved, always involved in what was going on. I mean, what is a leader but that? And especially prophetic people spoke with authority, and they said, thou shalt not sin, you know, this is sin, or come back to the Lord as one God, or over a nation, or they did individual confrontation, like Nathan going to the king, which he could have lost his head over. These are pretty big. You know, another example in the New Testament, for instance, that I didn't even get to, would be John the Baptist confronting, what is it, Herod? All of a sudden I'm drawing a blank, about his immorality and then losing his head over it because they were, you know, what was it, her daughter requested the head of John the Baptist. And so almost every apostle or disciple and all that's mentioned very much in the New Testament eventually died a martyr's death. Why am I bringing that up? I'm not trying to discourage you after all this effort to encourage you. It's to let you know that times could get that rough again, and you will either deny Christ or you'll be willing to overcome not only by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, but not loving your life so much that you wouldn't be willing to die for him. Amen? Okay, enough encouragement with that. Let me take another caller. How about, let's see, area code 786. Welcome to the program.
Hi, good night, Carlotta. This is Mario from Miami.
Oh, Mario, welcome to the program. How are you doing?
Very, 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 very good. Very happy. Glad I called.
Wow. What are you so happy about? Can you say?
Just getting out of a little storm that I went through and getting back to just seeing the Lord use me on a daily basis for several different reasons. And I just love when he sets divine appointments for me. So I've just been very grateful about, you know, to be out of this storm that I've been going through and get back
out
to serving.
Out of the storm, you say?
Yes.
I don't know if this is personal, because I encourage people, you know, don't necessarily mention somebody else's name on the air, because you never know, you know, people all over the world are listening. But can you give our listeners an example of what a divine appointment was or is?
Of course, yes. Sometimes I just come across people, and for example, in my last I worked the Dolphins game and the UM game, and I was just talking to a guy, and he was asking me if I was married, and I'm telling him, nope, I'm not looking either. And, you know, there's all these, you know, girls in the games, and I'm just telling him I have a relationship with Christ, and he's just telling me, he's like, you don't understand, I needed to hear that, because it's so hard, you know, with the temptation. And then the next day, it's the same thing, a guy who's, you know, just found Christ and is into things he shouldn't be. So I'm sharing with him my testimony, and I just know that God keeps putting these people in my path for a reason. And I know there's power in the testimony.
Very good testimony. I don't think you have any way of knowing this. Of course, it was so long ago in my case. But that's actually the testimony that turned my life around. I was beginning to turn around, and I heard two women, single women in their 30s, say how they were satisfied with Jesus alone and didn't have to have Jesus, a man to be satisfied. And I literally went up to them, the guest speakers, this is how I used to be, and I said, I know you're lying through your teeth. Nobody is satisfied with just Jesus. And they began to pray for me. They began to pray for me, and within 3 or 4 days, I had the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
I really relate to that message that you're sharing, that Jesus is you know, we are satisfied with Jesus. In fact, he is all we need. And it sounds crazy, but it's wonderful.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yes, and it's just beautiful when you're able to give a word to someone who really needs it. He was just so excited when I mentioned Jesus. He was like, I knew it, and he gave me a high five, and I was just like, all right. And so I love those moments.
Amen. I love it when Christians have a joy that shows on their face.
Oh, yeah.
He said, I knew it.
Yeah.
Some people talk about, well, you ought to love God. You kind of feel like, well, tell your face that you love God. You look sour, or you look mad, or you look aggravated, you know, and tell your face. I've had big challenges.
Well, that was me for a while.
Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. No, that was me for a while. That's why I'm glad to be out of it, though. But it's the whole learning process that's been good. It's when, you know, when I didn't have that foundation, and then the storm came, and I wasn't ready for it, so I was that sour Christian for weeks. You could even say almost a month. That's why I'm so glad to be out of it.
Oh,
it's
now
it's
I feel
funny.
Bad. I wasn't there for you either. I was busy moving and took a month off from radio.
Yeah, no. It's okay, but I mean, it was... Since I'm fairly young in my walk, it was a very good learning experience, and he's been with me, and I have a mentor, and I actually started going to King Jesus Ministries here in South Florida, which you asked me, do you go there with Apostle Maldonado? And I said, no. So I started going there, and that's where I've learned, and I've been growing, and I'm like, okay, I'm never staying away from my foundation, which is Jesus again. You know, it doesn't matter what comes, he's been faithful, and I always think of Abraham, how he, you know, left to Egypt at the beginning and didn't trust, and he became the man of faith. So I'm still learning to hold on to him during these storms.
I'm glad you brought that up, because we haven't picked out a date. We've tentatively planned a trip to the Fort Lauderdale, Miami area. And I wonder if you could email me more about what's going on there at Apostle Maldonado's church, because I would not only like to meet you, I'd love to visit there, of course, and I don't know anything about when's the best time to visit, but I would like to maybe schedule our trip at a time when maybe we could do all three.
Of course. Well, I would be delighted. It would be such a pleasure. And I definitely could. I think I could be of help in that area, because I know the best service is the last one, because it's not limited by time. So God does whatever He wants, and there's always things going on which are pretty exciting in that church.
And you know, it sounds like we're just having a personal conversation here at other people's listening time. But I want to tell you all, if you can, they have programs on the internet, don't they, Mario?
Yes, they're programs. They have live sessions on the internet.
And I don't usually promote anything, not products or programs or anything, but I just feel like this is God. How do they, what's the name of the church again, or their website?
I believe it's King Jesus. I don't know the exact website, but if you put Apostle Guillermo Maldonado on Facebook, when they have a live session, they usually send you a link to
okay.
check them out, and that'll probably be the best way.
And what he's saying is Apostle Guillermo Maldonado on Facebook, and you know, I usually don't even let anybody promote things on my Facebook page, because I have so many alumni and students, you know, I have to treat everybody the same. But I feel like this is God. He is such a good example of trusting God in every area of your life, you know, with miracles and signs and wonders and all. And we all say that we're going to trust God that way in these end times, but he's doing it now. And I think that a lot of people might want to click on that and follow him. I know I will. Do you have a special request of your own, Mario?
Yes, I do. I just honestly really want to hear from God. I just anything He wants to say, I just really want to hear from Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. I do too. It's kind of a prophetic joke. Many times when I say, "Son, I hear the Lord saying," I still haven't heard anything yet. And He fills my mouth right at the last word. But Lord, I just thank you for Mario. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for the even that you have put it on my heart at times to pray for Mario's family. Thank you, Lord, for Mario's witness and testimony. I just see you riding with him, Mario. I'm seeing that picture of Jesus, who is King of Kings, but he's also called Lord Sabaoth. And that is the name of God used more than any other name in the Bible, actually, Lord of Hosts. I see you riding with him. I see, you know, you carrying his banner, waving. And that God is so in love with you and so proud of some of the brave choices that you have made. And the Lord says, "I have been molding your heart to be an expression of my heart. Because some have the courage to say my words or to preach my message. But I'm especially happy that I can call you to be an expression of my heart. And in that, I'm doing a supernatural work. As our hearts become more and more one, to do a supernatural impartation through you as you abide in me more and more. As you continue to put me first and to seek my heart, that my desire is to do a supernatural impartation through you, and there'll be others that say, I knew it. Because that's my desire. That they will like the secular phrase, I feel you. They will know the presence of God. Even if they don't know you, within minutes they'll know. They'll feel that hunger for me rising up in them. They'll feel themselves opening their heart to me because they want the Christ that is in you. And this is part of the message that I'm giving you, even if it's preached without words. Sometimes it will cause people to hold their hearts open to me. And you can ask me for this. You can say, God, yes, I want to be an expression of your presence in such a way that even the people that are fatherless, that were rejected, that were homeless, that were treated unfairly or bruised and wounded by the church or abandoned or whatever, that instead of letting that separate them from you, Father, they will hold their hearts open and more open to me. The Lord says it's a supernatural work that I want to do through you. And yes, sometimes I'll say things through you. Sometimes you'll do random acts of kindness, and yes, it will take boldness, but the Lord says, I will do the work. I will touch their hearts. And they may not even know how to say the words themselves, but they will know. For some reason, after meeting that man, I want to seek the Lord. And so you can just picture that. It's kind of like my Wi-Fi, the Lord says. I will just do it wireless in their hearts, sometimes wordless, sometimes with words, but I'll draw them to me. I will draw them. You don't have to do that. I will draw them. And you just be an expression of my fruit, my love, joy, and peace, and I will confirm it. Amen?
Amen. Yes. Yes.
Can you relate to that?
Oh, yes. Very much so. Especially because I'm always wondering, Lord, you know, was that enough? You know, are they going to seek it? What's going to happen? You know, so when he, by him saying that he's the one that's going to put it into him, it's like, okay, it's in your hands. I mean, which it usually is, but I just want to, you know, I want people to take that next step. So I always leave with that, you know, wondering what's going to happen to that person. And I'm just so happy to hear him say that. Yes.
Amen. Well, I'll tell you something else I'm going to promote. I have never done this before either, but I feel it tonight. There is a company online you may have heard of, but I want to say it for all the listeners tonight and in the downloads and all. There's a company that I use called Vistaprint.
Okay.
And
yes.
At Vistaprint, you can get business cards or even postcard-sized cards very inexpensively.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not suggesting that people get business cards so that they can flaunt themselves or claim to have a title or a position. But if you are willing to share your name or contact information with people, and you have a few of those on you, I invite people to come to our house for prayer and prophecy, and I invite them to come to meetings and all, but it helps if you can hand them something, you know, and they know how to call you.
You know what's funny? That I actually did that about 6 months ago or so. With Vistaprint, I ordered the 250 cards and I just put God's servant in there. So when I would go evangelizing, if they ever wanted prayer for me to tell them more about Jesus, they could call me. So it's so awesome to hear you say that, because it's the same company I used as well.
Well, I don't know that if it's better or worse than other companies, but I know that it's inexpensive. And
exactly.
They once you create your card and fill in all the blanks, they save it for you. So if you want to order it again, all you have to do is go back there. But another thing that I do that I want the listeners to hear is I have a protection prayer that people especially like. And I put that with one of the Vistaprint pictures that looks like a miracle picture on a postcard. And people love it when I hand them this protection prayer and they can keep it. See, and they're more likely to keep it than my business card because they can pray that protection prayer every day. And I think if you pray, you know, put a blessing or something on one and you share it with people, then they feel like you have given them a thoughtful gift and they'll keep your contact information. And then when they need help, they'll call you.
Awesome, definitely. I used to put the church info in case they wanted to come visit God's house. Do you think that's a good idea?
As you're led. You know how some people, they receive a message about Jesus, but they won't receive one about the church. And you can have both. You can have both.
Gotcha.
Because with Guillermo Maldonado's church, they're either going to love it or be blown away one. But they won't come away thinking the power of God does not exist anymore, that's for sure.
Most
I guess
definitely.
I better go, Mario. I've enjoyed it, but I have a couple more callers. I hope you will email me the information about the best time to come down there this fall, okay?
Of course, we'll do so. Be my pleasure.
Thank you very much. Be blessed.
Thank you, likewise.
All right, have a good night.
Good night.
Wow. Mario has called before, I guess you can tell that. But it's funny how in the family of God, I always feel like we know each other so quickly. I've never met him. But I was thinking during one of our trips down south that we might. Hallelujah. Let's see if we have another caller here with something to share or a request. And I don't know why when I push this button, nothing is happening. Help us, Lord. Oh, there. Thank you. Somebody's praying.
Hello.
Okay. I don't see an area code here, but I see B.C. Watson. Is that you? Are you on the line?
Yes, that's me, and I'd like to thank you for taking my call. I greatly appreciate it.
Uh-huh. Where do you live?
Currently living in Las Vegas right now. Been here for about a month now.
Uh-huh.
And, going through the midst of a transition right now, that I hope to someday include ministry. I want to get involved again. I've been out of ministry since 2008, and it was because of some things that were exposed to me about ministry that really kind of turned my focus upside down, literally. It was just, you know, basically a lot of corruption I was subject to. And since then, I've kind of had a been very distasteful for what's been going on with Barbin Church. And I would like to get back involved. I've been having an urgency to get involved lately. But a lot of things I've been hurt by prophecy, and particularly ministry. It's like, you know, I was involved with a ministry that if you pay the pastor or if you pay for a blessing, things would come. And it got to a point to where these things, two of the things I was asking for was being unfulfilled. And to this day has not been fulfilled. And I'm just kind of confused on, you know, what you know, about this relationship with God, you know.
Really? Well, we will. I appreciate you not sharing any names on that. But, you know, of course, I hear a lot of stories about people that appear to be false and are giving false words or who are in it for the money. I think anybody that goes into ministry for the money is nuts. But I do know a good prophet in Las Vegas who has a church, and if you would like to email me, I'd be glad to give you what I can of his information. You can check that out.
Well, that'd be great.
God is actually not bringing his name to me right now, but I think it's just because I'm not supposed to go into that much detail on the air, but I'm sure he will for an email. And we actually went to school together, and so I have reason to believe he won't let you down.
That'd be great.
Any certain requests tonight? Or
yes, I just want to basically know God's purpose for me right now.
Wow, big one. Big one, thank you. Thank you. What shall I call you?
Call me Greg.
What's your name? Greg?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hmm. Lord, I thank you for the ways that you have been building into Greg's life. You've let him see how not to do it and how to do it. I thank you for rescuing him from the witchcraft that was designed to bring him into a place of disappointment that could lead to discouragement and depression and disorientation, that he would not even know if he's called or where to go from here. And if he ever was called, that's what the witchcraft assignment was. But I thank you, Lord, that you have come along and have picked him up, and you want to lift him up in your love, and that you are calling him and are within him keen discernment, and that he won't come against the people, but he'll come against the strongholds that you allow him to see. And I thank you that this keen discernment is able to discern the strategies of the enemy versus the strategies of God. And he'll be able to discern what ministry is delivered with your intention, your heart, and the true message from your mouth, Lord, and what ministry is defiled by divination or idolatry or manipulation or control or anything else. And that he will have your love and compassion for people, whether they are in a place of deception or if they're in a place where they're being divinely led and are ministering and demonstrating who you are clearly. And I thank you, Lord, as you bring clarity to his mind and his emotions and to his own soul, that he will eventually be able to minister with a clarity because of what he's been through, and that people will be encouraged. And I just thank you for even the times when you showed him, no, don't think that that's bitterness or don't think that that's resentment. You must forgive. You must also be an example of my forgiveness and how quick I am to forgive people even when they don't repent and they don't understand how they're hurting people. And the Lord says, if you'll just forgive them completely, renounce any judgments or dishonor of them, and allow me to handle them, I will handle them. Lord says, there's no double jeopardy in the kingdom. You have to let go of those things where people have let you down and let me handle it, or you can choose to try to handle it yourself, but you can't have both. And the Lord says, I just want you to make a list of all the people that have let you down, and don't focus on it too much. Don't go back there too much, but make a list and renounce your own judgments of them, no matter how wrong they were. Because, the Lord says, the reason is I want to make you a man of very, very keen discernment. In order to do that, there can't be any judgmental attitude, no critical attitude. And, of course, you're human, and there'll be ups and downs with that. But the Lord says, if the desire of your heart will be to have my discernment and my heart, even for those that are in deception right now, then you will be able to have a clear, godly discernment that is not just a critical attitude, not just a judgmental attitude or something like that, not condemning people, but loving people, seeing the strategy of the enemy to confuse them or bring them into deception or to corrupt the message of the word. And you will be able to be an intercessor that prays like my Gethsemane prayers. When I was in Gethsemane, I didn't want to suffer at the hands of people. I asked God if there were a plan B, or I wouldn't have to suffer at the hands of people. But I also cried out to the Lord saying, I'm willing to lay my life down for others. And the Lord says, as you enter into a willingness to pray for and intercede even for those who are in deception, then there will be a way for me to work in their lives that's much greater. And you'll begin to see the very people that were the thorn in your flesh, you'll be able to see my hand at work in their lives, and many will turn around, and they will become stronger too, because they will know the message of deception from the message of my divine redemption. And in these last days, I need men who are willing to be bold and yet loving, men of steel and yet velvet, men who are willing to bring clarity and yet do it with compassion. And so, like the prophets of old, I hope you hear the teaching tonight, but like the prophetic people of old, they're able to make the point clear, but always offer the opportunity to repent and to come under my fountain of blessing, God says. Always offer that opportunity to repent. But it's okay to make it clear that there is no other God, only Jehovah God, only Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the Most High God, is our Savior. And work certainly won't do it. And whenever you hear a message of deception or with error, that you will be able to not only see that, because almost anybody that's willing to can point out mistakes and errors, but you will know what to pray, just as Jesus did in Gethsemane. He knew what the people were about to do. He knew that technically it was wrong to murder him, but he was willing to lay his life down. And the Lord says, I'm just calling you to that place, and I've allowed you to go through these things, not so that you'll be hurt forever, but if you'll give that list to me, I'll take the pain out of it, and you will have the wisdom to be able to minister my true message more accurately because of what you've been through. Amen?
Amen. Thank you so much for your intercession.
You're welcome.
This was definitely something that I needed.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like I have some chores to do.
I say that to everybody, not just you, to everybody. And, of course, when you call in, you're always going to get some kind of straight-up message from me. But if everybody that ever listens to this will make a list of all the people they might have ever judged or dishonored, and don't, you know, like I say, don't live there from now on, but just make the list and give it to God. Ask forgiveness. And if you look on my website, crosswalklife.com, that's crosswalklife.com, and put in the search box, ask forgiveness five ways, you'll see there how to pray about this and break the power of any judgments you have made so that you won't have to read them later, okay?
Absolutely. But thank you so much.
You're welcome. I hope you have a fabulous year.
So do you. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, it's amazing what God does. I think some of you were actually afraid to call in after the message tonight. But God's heart is always to redeem, always to reconcile. He is so much more ready to forgive, so much nicer than we think. I have time for at least one more call. Let's see. Who have we here? Area code 973, welcome to the program.
Hi, it's Elaine.
Hi, Elaine. Where are you from?
In New Jersey.
New Jersey. All right. We're getting people from all different sides of the country here. Did you have a comment or a question about the message? Or?
No, actually, I missed part of the message. I'll have to go back in the archives and listen to it. But I was one of the Lord as far as direction in my ministry and personal.
So you're looking for direction?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Of course, Shanda Labaka Cedar Book. Well, I'm just seeing an example, first of all, just a picture, Elaine, where the Lord is showing me, and this is only meant in a positive way, not in any ways negative, but the Lord says, there's one thing that a good pet knows, and I'm picturing our loving dog, and so, but I'm not calling your dog, okay? I'm picturing how the Lord reminds me frequently that a good pet or a good dog knows the most important thing is to be at the master's feet. And they may take off to, you know, go out to the bathroom, or they may, you know, take some time off to food, to eat some food, and they may take a nap. But usually, in a good pet, their highest priority is their master. Many times they understand that far better than people do.
Yes.
Lord says, and by, I'm not even comparing you to a pet, none of that part. It's just that the high priority of the master. And the Lord says, you're my priority, that I have wanted communion with you, with mankind, since the very beginning. I've done everything that it took, given up, laid down, everything that it takes so that I can have communion with you. And tonight I just want to impart to you how important and valuable and worthwhile you are to me. Far more than you think do I want communion with you. I'm delighted when you take notes when I speak to you. It's my pleasure when you write it down. It's such a blessing to me, and it's just my heart to have communion with you. And the Lord says that I'm giving you downloads as you spend time with me, more and more downloads on this theme, how to communicate to people that I want to be one with them, to speak into their hearts, to heal their wounds, yes, to set them free, yes, but that oneness. And people often don't even know what I'm talking about. They don't really, they can't wrap their brains around it. It isn't something you can wrap your brain around. But the Lord says, I'm going to be giving you more and more downloads on what it is to be one with me, and I'm going to, as you allow me, give you opportunities, divine appointments, encounters where you can say, Lord, I'd like you to do it supernaturally for this person. And just that quick, they will get a download too. Supernaturally, God really wants me to know him, like big time know him, to interact with him. It's not something I get in heaven that I have to wait for, that God wants me to know him, really know him now. And whether they're new to Christianity or whether they've been a long time or whether they're lukewarm or whether they're hot, hot, hot for Jesus, you can say, Lord, I'd like you to, I think I hear you saying you want to give this person a download of what it means to be one with you. And you can agree with me because my eyes look to and fro over all the earth to find those that will intercede for others and stand in the gap. And when you feel that, you feel my heart saying, I want them to understand how much I want to be one with them, then you can just agree with me and I'll do it supernaturally.
Wow.
And they won't have to go through as many hard knocks and learn things the hard way because they'll know that that's the priority and get that straight. Okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Can you relate to that?
Yes, 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 I do. Yes, always chasing after him, but you know, it seems like you just can't catch him. You just gotta keep moving, gotta keep on moving until you get closer and closer.
Well, and a lot of people do picture it that way. Let me pick on that for a minute. They picture God as somebody that's holding something behind his back in his clenched fist, or that you have to chase him down, or you have to corner him, or you have to make him listen to you. But actually, the download I'm talking about is more about Christ in you. If they can realize they can't get any closer because he's inside. There's not one of you inside your skin, there's two of you.
Yes.
And when you start meditating on that, and I would like to share a tool with you that you can use. Oh, dear, what website is it? I think it's on nowfaith.tv. It's www.nowfaith.tv. If you put in the search box separated thinking,
okay.
I think it's on that one. It might be on crosswalklife.com, but I've got a whole chart on how we've been trained to think separated from Jesus. Like, even, I'm really going to get picky here, but even when we teach people to pray that God will show up, we know what we mean. But the devil wants to take that and cause people to think, Old Testament thinking, that he's not here in all of us already.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? We want to see and understand and know God in better ways, and we love to see him demonstrate his love and power for us, and that's what we mean, but the devil wants to warp that so that people think we have to beg God to show up, like in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit, people weren't indwelt by the Holy Spirit all the time. Anointings came and went, you know? And
yeah.
So God says, I want to give you downloads. More and more and more, I would keep a journal on this if I were you, for your life message, which would be to help people understand they really can be one with Christ who is inside them already. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm going to try to squeeze in one more call. This is going to have to be, oh dear, I have two more people. I don't know if I can do it that fast, but I'll try. Okay. Have a great night, Elaine.
God bless.
God bless you too. Now, for those of you that have already called in, or if you call in before the end of the hour, even if I go overtime, you'll still be able to hear it. If you're on the chat room or on the internet, you may not. But if you call in right now before the end of the hour here, even if these next two run a little bit overtime, you will be able to still hear. It's just if you'd like to. Area code 310, welcome to the program. Okay, I hear your computer echoing. What I need you to do is mute the computer sound and so that I can hear you. Very good. Who's on the line, please?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yes, it's Patty in Los Angeles.
Oh, Patty, welcome to the program.
Well, I've learned a lot, as always, and learned from hints that you've given other people looking at their spiritual growth. So I appreciate that.
I wish I could just bring you all home with me and we could spend the weekend together.
Well, sometime. I guess my question now is, I think I know where God is leading me, and I'm grateful for the strength and mental ability to do. I think there are other things I'd rather be doing, but I feel that God feels, you know, get some basic things in order, in line, so that you can do more of whatever it is he's calling me to do more specifically. And while I'm doing this, he has given me, you know, some revelation, which has been, you know, very helpful for me, I think, in my relationship with him. And I just wonder if God has a word about me being on the right track or what I should be doing, or maybe something I didn't think of that he wants to tell me.
Well, Patty, I do hear the Lord saying that I have allowed some things and some experiences in your life that seem like it might not be helpful, you know, in helping
yes,
you
I
get
agree
the
with that.
Direction and calling. But the Lord says, I'm bringing it all together. And there are many things that you know today about the dark side and about my side that other people don't know. And you have a discernment that other people don't have, most other people. And the Lord says, I am going to be increasing your territory and making you more multifaceted than you are now. You're right that there are other things that I'll have you involved in. But in the meantime, I have allowed you to be in a place that sometimes seems somewhat restricted and held back. But the Lord says, I've been preparing you. Just really preparing you. And example is coming to my mind, and I just trust the Lord that this is him. That the Lord says, I'm calling you to be a war horse. And you might say, well, you've got a funny way of showing it. I feel anything but strong like that. But the Lord says, I'm calling you to be a war horse. And I'm not saying this, Patty, because I saw the movie. I've got to see it. I haven't seen it. But my understanding of a war horse is that the rider would sleep in the stall with a horse until such a bond was formed that the horse would almost like rejoice at the call to battle and would run toward the battle, toward the cannons, toward the fire, toward the smoke, instead of running away. And it's because of the bond with the rider. And the Lord says, believe it or not, to all these experiences that you've had about the battle are all going to come together. And you're going to know that you know that when I call you to battle, who your commander is, that you can absolutely trust me. Absolutely. And you won't shrink back. you'll know that I am greater than any challenge, that I always win, that it's not that there's not a battle to be fought. You're no stranger to battles. But the Lord says, I have been building a bond with you that will stand. And you will be steadfast. And you will be strong. And even though now you may feel like you're not, that you're weak, that you're anything but a war horse, the Lord says, I'm going to turn all that around. And you're going to know what it is to be strong in the spirit. And it won't be measured by the strength of your stature or physical strength or anything. You'll know what it is to be strong in the spirit. And that it doesn't matter how you're limited by geography or time or space. You'll know that when I speak through you, it's a done deal. And you'll have a better understanding of my purposes and my plans and my heart for people. And it won't just be that you've got a position or a call or a gift or a job. You'll know that you have a place in establishing my kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And that when you speak, what I speak is my ambassador, that there's not only power in it, it, like the verse says, when you pray, you know, believe, ask, believing you have received it already, that you'll know that when I tell you to pray something, it's done. I just wanted you to agree with me so that you could enjoy it, you could see it fulfilled, and you could see how I am glorified as you agree with me. Amen?
Amen. Well, thank you very much. Thank you. And one part of that very much, I was lately, God has been calling to mind when I was so worried about things about, well, I'm just going to praise you and, you know, make the list, some of these lists that you were talking about and other lists. And suddenly he gave me revelation. You know, things I kept saying to my mind that for some reason I thought. And I thought, how can you not trust? Or why would you worry? He did this. And, you know, rejoice in it. Rejoice in that and just know that when other things come up. So it fits very closely. Some talks I've had with him. So thank you for this word, and I'll let you get to the next person.
Okay. Well, I want some
thank
of that
you.
Word myself, and I think there's enough to go around for everybody. Amen.
Amen.
All right, good night. I want you all to know, without belaboring it, that most of you have no clue the challenges that I go through. But I'm not here for self-pity or for appreciation or anything. I'm just letting you know, if there's a place you get to in the kingdom where it's a piece of cake, I don't know where it is. You can minister that to me. But we grow like Jesus grew. He grew in stature, even though he was perfect, and also he grew through suffering, and I don't think anybody's exempt. There's something about a challenge that is what grows faith muscles. Okay, I'm going to take this last caller, and if you can stay with us, you're welcome to, and we just really appreciate your prayers and our new location, and as God establishes us, we have met some wonderful friends already, and we hope soon to be able to host some mega weekends where you can come for ministry in person. If you'd be interested in that, I'd like you to write me at cwt@cwlinc.com or go to the website and write me that, and let me know that you'd be interested in coming to Thomasville, Georgia for a mega weekend of ministry, or that you might want to host one at your location. Okay, one more caller. Just one more. This one is all ones, like it's a credit card call or a Skype call or something. If you think your
Hi, my name might be.
Yes?
Hi, my name is Gary from Northern California. I was calling for prophetic prayer.
Oh, another Gary. This is Gary Knight. Okay. All right. Thank you, Lord. Gary, I just see you working in team with other people. There have been times when the enemy wanted to isolate you or to make you feel like you had to carry the burden alone or that no one else, you know, really was up to par. But the Lord says, I'm connecting you with others. I'm solidifying alliances. The key word for you at this season is alliance. The Lord says, be aware of the prophetic people, the people that really know how to praise me, people that are really preaching my word, and operate in my power, those keys. The Lord says, I'm wanting to connect you with at least one new mentor, and to value the alliances that I'm bringing your way, that there are relationships that I want to grow and that you will need more and more and more, not less and less. That as you grow, you won't need them less, you'll appreciate them more, and specifically in the area of people that are prophetic, that hear my voice, that actively praise me as a way of life, because some people, they basically just praise when it's a church service. They don't know how to have the joy of the Lord all the time and praise Him in all things. Be aware of the people that really do operate in my power and are not depending on their experience or their training or their works. And the people that really preach my word, because there's much preaching going on and in many churches, but sometimes they get to the point where they're preaching anything but who Jesus is and why he came, why he died, and why we need him. They're preaching everything else. The Lord says, I'm just giving you this word tonight so that you can be aware of the strong foundational relationships that I'm pulling together for you, that you won't overlook them or think you're not worthy of them or think they're not worthy of you, and that you will let these relationships happen. They take time. They take energy and investment. But don't be shy. Contact people. If you think it's a mentor that I'm bringing your way, know that mentors don't usually chase you down. You have to make yourself available. You have to be where they are. You know, like Elisha said, no, I won't leave you. I'm going to be wherever you are. And so the Lord says, I'm bringing all these rich relationships your way. Don't overlook them. Let them happen. And do your part to let these friendships build, because you're going to need them and they will need you. All right?
Amen. Thank you so very much. I appreciate that word. Thank you.
Does it mean anything to you at this time?
Yes, you know what? I had just moved from a different location to another part of the state, and I'm in a place I've never been before. And I was just praying. I said, Lord, I said, I need contact. I need people. I don't want it to be part of just any church or just any religion. I said, but it definitely has to be an apostolic, you know, I want to be in an apostolic assignment, an apostolic alignment, you know. And so everything that you've been speaking about, that has just basically been my prayer. Lord, where do I go? Where are the people that I meet? You know, I'm just there. And so, I'm just there. Exactly everything that you just said tonight.
What city are you in?
I'm in Folsom, California. I'm near Sacramento.
Oh, in California. Okay.
California. Yes, yes. And like I said, I just moved. I'm in a place I've never been before. Just everything just brand new. So it's just, I've never been here.
Well, praise the Lord. God heard your prayer, didn't he?
And yes, he did.
For all of you that are feeling the same thing, that you need stronger connections, that's probably from God. He'll show you whether... all you listeners out there, he'll show you whether the connections are right under your nose where you're already planted or whether you need to be flexible and it's time to move on. But I would say also, don't think that size is the indicator, because I believe that the connections, for instance, that he's, well, actually in three or four different parts of town, the connections that he's strengthening in us, because we just moved a month ago, are actually, each of them is a small group of people. It's not the mega churches or anything. That God is knitting us together. What does the Bible say? Jointly fit jointly or something. He's knitting us together with people who will be true brothers and sisters as we grow, whether we have good days or bad, whether we're exalted or abased, they will be there for us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Well, this is a good night. I'm glad for every one of you that prayed, because it's true labor is not my cup of tea because my body is fragile. And I just feel your prayers. I appreciate you. I appreciate all that you do. I want to encourage those of you who have considered being a host for a training seminar to contact me, because we can do that either by you coming to this area, me going to your area, but listen to this, because of Skype or uvu.com, these internet things, if even one person in your group of friends has a computer, we can have a webinar, you know, a seminar that's interactive using Skype or uvu.com, where if even one person has a computer, that we can meet, I can teach, I can minister to people one-on-one, minister to you as a group, we can have interaction, we can do the whole thing without anybody having to buy a plane ticket. And what I'm trying to say, these things are not out of reach anymore. We need to take advantage of the technological tools that we have, and we can train and teach and minister, and you can have a small group, because that brings the overhead and the cost way down, way down. All you have to do is come up with an offering or some money for materials, which, by the way, because of the digital world today, I can send you and you can have them copied. We don't even have to pay to mail heavy books. So see how easy this has become. We can have seminars using the internet, and even if you only have, say you've only got 8 or 10 people, you can still do it. And we've done it before. We've had Bible studies who have said our Bible study would like to have the training on how to minister to certain issues. And they said, it's just us, though. And I said, fine. Fine. Because we don't have to make a big production of it anymore. We don't have to have money for travel and hotels and tickets and all that. We can just do it over the internet. So I don't know, I'm saying this for somebody. You need to know that your team can be trained to minister more effectively or to receive ministry, or for those of you who have friends that are survivors of abuse, sensitive or advanced issues, even if they have very sensitive issues, like they're dissociated or have multiple personalities or whatever, do you realize we can have ministry set up to minister to a group of people on some of these most private issues without any of us ever going anywhere? We can all do it from our homes. So I have just such a heart for people to be healed who cannot access the ministry that they need in their area. I just had to add that, and I'm not sorry. Look up on our website at crosswalklife.com. That's crosswalklife.com. And put in the search box seminars, and you'll see the main ones that we suggest already. And if you'd like to suggest a different one, just use contact us to contact me, and maybe we'll hear the voice of the Lord of a new one to add. But I want to thank you again for being there for me while we're moving, and all the challenges that I've had to face. Don't you love moving? And I want you to consider inviting a friend next time. Consider inviting a friend and allow them to be encouraged that God has something to say to everybody. Amen. I say that there isn't anybody that God won't talk to, at least in my experience, in all the places that I have been, I have yet to find anybody that God would not talk to. And I think a whole lot of it is about, are we willing to sit down and listen? It's good to hear God 24/7, to pray without ceasing.
time where we just sit down and listen, where we turn our eyes on Jesus, we give Him our attention. So, want me to listen to you right away. Sometimes I want you to listen to me right away. But if you'll just turn your eyes on Jesus, He has a word for you. His strength will be to you. He rests right down, the Lord. Want to be one with me, to interact with me. You have a purpose for my life. Amen. Amen. Praise God.